Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. And remember, we are the Resistance. And as always, we are so glad you are tuning in with us. And we have with us Eric Foley. Eric, I have not seen you again in several weeks. You were like torn down recording somewhere else, I think, right?
Man, we did something cool with one of my other shows. We live streamed from the jail.
Oh, wow.
So people could actually make comments and interact with the offenders during the show live.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know anyone else that's done that, man.
That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah, we were inside the jail.
You know what? Let's talk later because I've got some ideas. It's weird you just said that because God brought something to my attention recently about something like that. So yeah, let's talk after the show.
Okay.
Did you, when you were a kid, did you go to the beach or anything like on vacation, like go to the ocean? I know we're in Indiana, we're a ways away from it, but I didn't know if you traveled to go over there at all or.
Yeah, man. At least once a year we would do something like that, you know, down into Florida or whatever, like family and property right down there. But yeah, man. And there was a place in Westfield too. Can't remember the name of it now. Thunder Mountain or something. I don't know. There was like a nice water park there, but.
My family went every year. I grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania, and every summer we traveled over to the Jersey Beach. When I was little, we went to Atlantic City, and then when all the casino stuff came in, it kind of changed the whole family atmosphere. So we started going down the coast, maybe like 13 miles to Ocean City, and that's where I spent, you know, our vacations in the summertime. It was awesome. Did you happen to see when you were, now let me think, you might not have even been born yet, dude, when Jaws came out. That was in 1976, I believe.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet.
You weren't born yet.
But I have seen the movie.
You have?
I have.
Isn't it funny to go back and watch the movie? Because at the time when it came out, but you weren't born yet, but like the special effects, I mean, they freaked you out. Like when the head comes popping out, when he's diving underneath that boat, trying to find somebody, and it comes floating out, and you scream. And you know, and if you look, if you freeze it, like, you know, the head is just like, you know, something they just made in the, you know, the studio and just kind of made it out of ceramic or whatever they make him out of.
Yeah. To see it in person, I'm sure it's not very, you know, convincing at all, but.
But it freaked us out. We were having a garage sale. My buddy Steve and I, was in the summer. I think it was in the summer of 76. And he lived like, you know, six houses away from me, and we were doing a garage sale, and I'm reading this book. And this is the week before we're going on vacation, right? And this whole thing with these shark attacks. And the first little kid, he's got like this little inflatable thing that he's kind of floating on out there and gets, you know, munched on. And I had one of those. Yeah, uh-huh. It was pretty crazy. And when we left, you know, to go, I took the book with me, and I can remember my mom saying, "Why are you reading that?" Because it was like the Jersey coast. I think the name of the town, was it called like Amity or Amityville or?
It's something like
it's
that.
It's something like that. But it's funny because that movie freaked a lot of people out when it came out. I mean, if you went to the shore, there's sharks in the ocean. We know that. Very few people ever get attacked by sharks. But just the fact that someone had or has, and we see it on television, anything that happens. Man, did you see that plane crash down in South America here?
That was bizarre, man. It just kind of fell, it was weird.
You can remember, it wasn't that long ago, I was flying to Iowa in that private plane. And one of the gentlemen, I'm not going to say who it was or anything, but was in a plane that went into a flat spin. And they came within like 500 or 600 feet of pancaking on the ground. And when that plane came down, and when they were able to, you know, go and land the plane somewhere, but I guess like every rivet was loose in this plane. And it, you know, when you hear, he didn't tell me that until after we landed. It was just kind of a really funny thing. I'm not afraid to fly. I really am this person that's like, you know what? When it's my time to go, I really believe God knows that. That's kind of why the whole thing with Unleashed, my website, you know, unleashed.men, my last book, I've got a copy of two books here. The last one was called The Roar Within, Unleashing the Powerful Truth, you know, of who you really are. Guys, if you don't have this, you can still get it off of Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever. But that's kind of the way I've always lived my life. And this book was the one that came out before that. It's called Into the Wilds. But this used to be called Living Life Off the Hook, which is really kind of funny because that's how I've tried to live my life, because I think, you know what? We got one life. And we get to make out of that life whatever we can dream and imagine. I really believe that if God is behind us, really, who can be against us? So our dreams can't be bigger than God's dreams. But that summer, anyhow, we were going back over there, and I can remember how that affected so many people that I talked to. They're going, dude, there's no way I'm going in the ocean after that. You know, eventually people started kind of getting used to it. They see other people out there having fun, and they might go in knee, waist deep or whatever. But what's really amazing to me is how things that can happen to us, especially in our childhood and growing up, can really form our belief systems. You know, today's podcast is really going to be about, you know, what's holding you back? You know, what's holding you back from the life that you've always wanted? What keeps you paralyzed and not willing to take the risks that you might need to do in order to get to where you want to be? And so that's kind of where I want to go today. You know, I was mentioning last week, you know, that I'm a life coach. I've been certified life coach for many, many years through the John Maxwell organization, through Lives Transforming, went through the cohort for several years with True Faced. And I absolutely love coaching people. That's my heart. And, you know, you got two different kinds of coaches. You've got trained coaches, the ones that they've got the knowledge, but they really don't have the life experience yet. And then you have those transformed coaches, the ones who have worked the words into their life. And so a trained coach can be great for information, but someone who can really get into your life and ask you the right questions to move you forward, that's what you're looking for when you're looking for a life coach. You're looking for someone who's been transformed, because they're not the ones that are going to give you the answer. Because in coaching, it's not about giving you the answer. It's about asking the right questions to help you get to what the answer is for you. Because my experiences might not be the same as yours. Our goals aren't going to be the same. So, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but it's really fun. I had a call after I mentioned this on last week's podcast, and I didn't know the person. And they were like, man, I just heard you do life coaching. And over the phone right there, we had a conversation. He's like, yeah, get me signed up right now. I love that. One of the things I said on this call was, you know, I'm so glad this wasn't like you're calling because, you know, your wife's making you call, or, you know, there's some reason you have to call, right? Some legal thing. But this person's like, you know, I want to be different. I want to be better than I am now. I want to be challenged. It's like for a teacher, when you have a student that's asking questions, you want that student, you want that person, because you know they're going to work on it. And that's the lives that are going to be changed. So, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But, you know, I've had a life coach for many years. I think it's really important that if you're going to be out coaching others, that you've got one yourself. It's that speaking from experience kind of thing. And I can remember one time talking to him, and I said, you know, I'm struggling because I'm only making this much money this year. And he said, well, how much more have you made in other years? I said, I stay like within $5,000, and I'm not on salary. Like you said, I'm self-employed, and I speak and I write books and do things. And he said, I find it interesting that you only have made this much money consistently for how many years it's been now. And then he asked me a question. He said, can I ask you, how much money did your dad make a year? And I said, well, my dad was a school teacher. You know, he only made this amount every year. And he said, funny that you're making like $2,000 less than what your dad was every year. And that was 20 years ago your dad was making that money. And so then he asked me some questions. He said, you've got some self-limiting thoughts that are keeping you trapped in a mindset that that's all the more money that you could make or should make. And so we worked through that stuff, and he was able to ask me the right questions. And what it kind of came down to was I looked up to my dad. You know, it's almost like I didn't want to surpass him because I held him in high regard. And I don't know if it was a false humility or whatever it was, but I felt that I shouldn't make, you know, more money than he did. But that's going on the model that was 20 years ago. But there were some beliefs that I was buying into, and what he was able to do was really listen to me and ask me the right questions. I talked about this in the podcast, I think it was last week, where I was talking about GUIDE, G-U-I-D-E, that disarming technique that I shared with you all. And if you remember, I stands for inquiry, or asking questions. And you do that without an agenda. And he was able to do that really well with me, because the only agenda he had was to help me, to make me a better version of myself. So he wasn't trying to go autobiographical and tell me all this stuff from his life, you know, what helped him, because what helped him might not be the thing that helped me. But what was he listened well, and he knew the right questions to ask me so that I could figure this out for myself. Because that's what's the most important thing as a life coach. You know, you've got all kinds of different things out there that for self-help or whatever, but you've got like counseling. And life coaching is not counseling. This isn't a therapy session. You know, counseling is really more geared around, you know, healing a lot of different things from our past. Maybe you're suffering, you know, with depression or PTSD or, you know, anxiety. This is not made to be a counseling session. You've got, you know, mentoring. You know, mentoring is more about, you know, me sharing my knowledge, me sharing my skills and helping you to and my experiences to help you with personal growth. That's what mentoring is. That's not what life coaching is. Discipleship, you know, these are all closely related, but they're all different. Discipleship is really helping you know God and teaching you how to walk with God. But life coaching, what it does is it addresses the performance gap, the difference between what a person knows or understands and then what they do. So, you know, if you're stuck and you need to, someone who can help you discover what's holding you back so that you can see those changes be made, I would highly recommend you find a life coach. And I'll tell you more about it. You can go to unleash.men. You can go to, I think it's under resources, and you can see life coaching or coaching underneath that. And, you know, I'm only going to be taking about six new clients between now and the next 12 weeks, starting on September 1st. So if you're interested and you want to have a conversation about moving forward, man, just go to the website, type in the information, and we'll have a good conversation. The other thing I wanted to say, on the unleashed.men, we have the Unleashed Plus. Now, you know, if you're listening to this, this is free. But unleashed.men, when you go to the Unleashed Plus, it's a subscription. And I wanted to tell you something because I want you guys to have a gift. It's worth so much more than this, but I've knocked the price. Now get this, from $9.99 a month down to $1.99 per month. And for the year, instead of $99 for the year, it's $9.99. I mean, this book, The End of the Wild, you get the free audio book of this. My Drive Time Adventures, where I have all these different stories, and just like you're there, all the sound effects is there. There's Whitetail Wisdom segments. There's conversations with Whitetail Masters. There's just a lot of stuff, music, all kinds of stuff. So again, just go to unleash.men and go to Unleash Plus, and that's really cheap. I mean, just getting the audio book alone, you know, it's worth twice that. So, okay. Let me see here. So within life coaching, that's kind of where we're going today, because I want to help you get unstuck. I don't know, but some of the questions last week that we had, one of the guys is like, man, I feel like I'm in a fog and I can't find my way out of this. It would be really nice if you had someone you could just tap into that cares enough about you to say, well, let's get you unstuck. Let's help you find out what's causing the fog, and then help you find your way out of this. And that's what life coaching does. So there's really three elements that I want to talk about with this. So the first thing with life coaching is it creates greater awareness. You may not be aware of the things that you're doing or not doing that you need to do to get out of that fog, you know, to get unstuck, to reach those goals and dreams and things that you've always had. There's behaviors, there's disciplines, different things that can be holding you back. And so you need to have someone who listens well and can cause a greater awareness in you to see the need to be able to move forward. And one of the things that you're going to have, the second thing would be increased responsibility. It means that you're going to have more you're going to be needing to do, which that's a good thing. Because if you're stuck, you need some things to do to help yourself get unstuck. And so then the third thing is it's going to cause greater accountability, you know, with your life coach. Because when we identify the awareness of what you need to have, when you're given things to work on, you need to have that person each week to say something like, so tell me your wins. You know, where did you win this week? You know, where did you feel like you, and I want to say failed, because failure is never taking a step backward. It's learning what not to do next time. So you're always moving forward. But if you're not trying, you're not moving forward. So it's making that decision to be disciplined, to do the work, and then each week, let's talk about what you did, what we might be able to do differently. There was a one of the segments that I had gone through with the John Maxwell life training, they had a speaker, and he was talking about how important in coaching it is that people learn what to do, what not to do. But he was sharing a story about a tennis team, and what they didn't tell these players was that the coaches, these private coaches they were going to give them, had never played a game of tennis in their life. They were hockey players. But the only thing the hockey players did was every time that tennis player would make a certain stroke and it wasn't good enough, he'd say, how did that feel, you know, when you made that stroke that time? What was different that time than when I saw you hit it well last time? Okay, go back and do what you did the last time. Now repeat it again. And he would just begin to learn how to ask these questions by watching what they were doing that was successful, and then help them discover what they did when they weren't successful. And afterwards, they told these coaches, I mean, these tennis players, and they had no idea that these guys weren't tennis coaches. That's the beauty of having a good coach. It's them watching, listening, learning you so that they know the right questions to ask and then keep moving you in the right direction. I cannot stress how important it really is to have a good life coach in your life. And here's the other thing. Coaching isn't just changing like your behaviors or like a tennis swing. That's kind of an analogy. It's not changing from the outside in. It's changing from the inside out. Because you're going to have a lot of self-defeating beliefs that have stopped you where you're stuck right now, why you're in the fog. Because for whatever reason, you're believing things that are keeping you held back. And you've got to be able to understand and become aware, like I said, of what those things are so that you can move forward. You know, one of the things coaching does is it's understanding that how you think is shaped, you know, by your experiences. And that's, you know, that's what creates your thoughts, both bad or good thoughts. excuse me. And what you have to do is you got to untangle those self-sabotaging thoughts and behaviors that have stunted your growth. It's about learning to reframe the challenges that you're facing. Okay, it's taking those and being able to look through a little different lens, like when you go to the eye doctor. You know, how's this now? How's this now? That's what life coaching really is. It's helping you see through a different lens. And instead of shutting you down, it's turning things into focus so that you can begin to move forward. And life coaching is also about helping you find balance in every area of your life, not just like in finances or in your marriage. When you think about all the different things that we have in our lives on a daily basis, things we're facing, you've got things like your career, you've got money, fitness, you know, family, your health, personal growth, spiritual growth. There's all kinds of things. And what I want you to think about for a second, I don't have anything here that's circular, maybe like the lid of this cup I'm drinking out of, but I want you to think about this being like a bike wheel, and you've got spokes in it. And in the center, all the spokes come out almost like slices of pie when you kind of look at it. And so if you were to imagine each one of those slices of pie within that bike wheel and those spoke areas would have all those things I just mentioned, like career, money, finances, personal growth, physical things. They're all important. And each one has that piece of the pie, so to speak. And so what I'll have sometimes people do is I want you to imagine that the center of that wheel would be the number zero. That's dead center. And if you went the spoke all the way out to the edge of the wheel, if you were to number it 1 through 10, all the way out there would be 10. And so many times what I'll have a client do is I'll say, here's all the different areas. And in each one of those little pie pieces that says career, finances, family, whatever, I want you to make a line kind of curved in the way that the outside of the circle is curved, wherever number it is where you think you are right now with each one of those. So if your career is, if you want it to be a 10 and you're only a 3 right now, make it a 3. You know, if you want family is important, maybe you're a 7 there, so you make that a 7. Maybe your personal health is really important to you and you make it a 10. But what happens is you can begin to see when you've got like a 3 or you've got a 7 and you got a 10, now those lines on those each pieces of the pie, it's not perfectly round. They're in different places. So imagine if that outside wheel, like the tire on it, weren't there and you were having to roll that based on where you drew those lines. If it doesn't roll without really big bumps or getting stuck, then you would know that your life is out of balance. And so you've got to begin to work on those areas that are in there to bring balance into your life. It's probably never going to be everything is a 10 because we do have things that are like, for me, family is really important. Relationships are really important, way more important to me than money. But I have to remember that money needs to be important to some degree because that's what pays the bills. That's what helps take care of my family. So I think you can kind of see how all that works. And then there's a number of things that we have to look at for each one of us to help us understand, like intelligence. You know, when a person's balance and capabilities, you have to look at four different things. One of them would be intellect, and that's reasoning. You know, what is your reasoning like? Are you able to grasp a concept and work through a problem quickly? If that is some area of yours that isn't as strong, having someone to help you in that area, help you navigate the problem, is going to be a huge benefit to you. You've got, that's called your intelligence quotient or IQ. Then you have a spiritual quotient, and that is your ability to use, you know, like spiritual values, you know, practices, and those experiences to help, you know, with your personal growth and well-being. It also is huge in your purpose, discovering and living out of your purpose, that spiritual quotient, because that's your belief system that you've got happening there inside of you. Then you've got what's called the emotional quotient. And an emotional quotient, that's the ability to understand, use, and manage your own emotions in a positive way to relieve stress, to communicate effectively, to empathize with others, because that's a huge part of being able to move forward is when we're good listeners and we can be empathetic to someone else, it builds trust. And so that is huge, and it diffuses the conflicts. And then the last piece, which if you've heard me talk on here sometimes about like the exercise and weightlifting stuff that I do, that's your physical quotient, because understanding how important it is to take care of your body is really important because that's going to play into your emotional health. I mean, it plays into almost all of these things, being able to navigate, you know, the tough questions. If you're not exhausted because you got the right sleep, you're eating the right food. So anyhow, you can see how all these things really work together to help make you the best you that you can be. I was doing some coaching for a company called Jump Setter probably about 7 years ago. And the reason that they brought me in to be a coach was partly because I do love listening to people and helping them navigate through some really tough issues. And some of the clients, this was a company and their salespeople, they wanted them to be coached. And I can remember this one client, and he was a mess. And he was starting to drink pretty heavily. And so as I began to ask some of the questions, so help me understand what's causing the breakdown where you're needing to drink. And he said, you know, I kind of had some goals set for myself, what I thought I'd be making financially. And I move my family to this one location and we're not making near the money we need to make with me being a salesperson. And I said, well, why do you think that is? And he said, I think there's a couple of things. And this is kind of the shorter version of what ended up coming to what the reason was. But there was a couple of reasons. One, because he thought that his family or his boss or his coworkers would think more of him if he could close the deal with all the names he had in the pipeline that he was trying to make sales to, that he'd have more worth and value. You know, he'd be the big man on the totem pole. He'd get the job title that was bigger and the bigger paycheck and bonuses. And when he would go to make the sale, if he got nervous thinking he wouldn't make it, he'd start putting more pressure on the client. Well, what did that end up doing? It ended up making the client, the person that owned the business he was trying to make the sale to, get really uncomfortable. They would start to feel pressured. And then they would start to feel like maybe he was just kind of throwing them a sales pitch. Trust was broken. And so as we began to navigate through those beliefs, he was self-sabotaging is what he was doing. It was because his worth and value came from what I just said. And when I finally helped him understand that when you go to this client, your job is to help them be successful, not to create you to get a big paycheck or to have a bigger title or everyone to love you and like you, and you won the free trip to Hawaii because you sold more than anybody else did that month. Your job is to help the client be successful. So when you go in there, if your worth and value isn't attached to those other things, now you legitimately can go in there and say, what are you looking for? How can I help? Here's what I have to offer. And if that's not what you need, then maybe I can help you find someone else that can deliver what you're needing. Well, guess what that immediately does? The client realizes you're putting them before yourself, and now they're going to listen better. Now you have someplace to work from. So building trust like that is so important, but you cannot do it if you do not know what your true identity is, that your worth and value does not come from those things. And we all buy into that. Let me take it from a business application, because that was a business area. Let me take it to more of a personal one. And I shared this a long time ago in one of the earlier podcasts, but I think it's important to kind of bring it up here. On a personal front, there was a man who, and one of the things holding him back, so this applies, was, you know, he would get to his office and he would find himself, you know, kind of getting bored with work, and he'd start logging in and looking at pornography. And over time, he developed an addiction to pornography. And one night, and he had gotten some help for it, and his wife thought this was all over with. He was done with it. But, you know, she had the filter and everything on the computer. Well, of course, he figured a way to go around it. I don't know whether he was using his phone or whatever it was, but his wife found out that he was looking at porn again, and she kicked him out of the house. And so by the time I met this guy, I was speaking in a church where this man had been on the leadership team. And when I got there that morning, he had been kicked off, because it was that weekend his wife had found it, that he had been looking at porn again. She told the church, then she kicked him out of the house. They kicked him off the leadership team and all this. And by the time I had a chance to speak with him in the back room, he was a mess. He was a crying mess. And so I just sat down and I started off with empathy by saying, first of all, I am so sorry, you know, that this happened in your life. I'm sure this is really hard for you. It's got to be painful for you, for your wife, for your kids. And I'm really sorry that you bought into some lies that made you think that was the right thing to do. Because those lies that you bought into, they didn't come from the real you. See, this man was a believer. So I always start off by saying, it's not the real you that bought into the lie. You bought into the lie, but the enemy is the one that placed that lie in your thoughts. And so we sat down, and eventually what I was able to do with this man was I just made two columns. One said advantages and one said disadvantages. And I began to ask questions of him. I said, so let's kind of play this out. What are some disadvantages of what just happened to you this weekend? I wasn't assuming. I wasn't trying to have an agenda. I literally was asking him, what are the things that you're suffering from because of what just happened? And he said, well, my wife has kicked me out of the house, and I can't come back until I get counseling for my addiction. So I wrote that down, disadvantage. I said, is there anything else? He said, yeah. He said, she manages the money. I don't even know how to start paying the bills. So I wrote that down. He said, she does all the grocery shopping. I don't even know how to cook or shop. So I wrote that down. And then finally he said, you know, I was kicked off the leadership team when I got here this morning, and I'm totally humiliated. So I wrote that down. I said, so let me ask you some more questions. And I said, give me the advantages to what just happened. And he just looks at me and he goes, there's no advantages. And this is where having someone who really cares about you and can ask the right questions is so important. So I said, well, let's look at the first one that you said was a disadvantage. You said, you know, I've been kicked out of my house and I can't come back until I get help from an addictions counselor. He said, well, I already called and made an appointment. We're getting together Wednesday. I said, oh, so now is that an advantage or disadvantage that you're going to get help for your addiction? He said, well, I guess that's an advantage. I said, what about paying your bills? You're going to have to learn how to do that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Advantage, shopping, cooking, advantage. And then he looks at me and he says, but what about the last one? You know, I was let go from the leadership team and I'm totally humiliated. And I just looked at him and I said, well, let me ask you this question. You're a believer. Is it a good thing or a bad thing to learn how to walk in humility? Moved it over to the advantage column. And he said, how did you just do that? I said, all we did was just kind of break down these distortions that you were buying into, that you would believe these are bad things. So now when you take that and you apply it to where you're caught in the fog right now, and you think being in the fog is a bad thing. Well, if I were to ask you enough questions, we could probably get down to, well, maybe why the fog, being in a fog right now, might be exactly where you need to be. Because for some of us, you wouldn't get moved off ground zero, to use that kind of a phrase, to go somewhere else, unless all of a sudden the rug kind of got pulled out from underneath you, leaving you feeling like you're in a fog, because God has an amazing plan. But if you're not willing to move off center, you're never going to discover that. So are you willing to risk doing something different? I was I had to go in this last week and get a CT scan on something. And when they opened the door for me to go back to the CT scan, there was a man that I knew. I'd forgotten he even worked there. And as I was waiting to be pushed into this machine, he starts asking me, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? And I said, well, this area is going good. This area is kind of like in a fog. And he says, why do you think that is? I said, I'm not sure. And he said, you know, sometimes God will move us by putting us in that fog and making us feel like we can't keep doing the same thing we were doing because we're not getting the results we once had. So God will allow us. It's exactly what I teach, but I needed to hear it from somebody else. God moved that person into my life to help me understand that being in a fog right now was actually a good thing, because what it did was it moved me back to start doing coaching again, which is what I love. It's what I'm good at. So if you go back to, episode one, and that was, I think it was called Eyes in the Dark. Was that right, Eric? I think it was called Eyes in the Dark, that lion story. I talked about, it's all about identity. And really, when we work through the coaching process, if you end up wanting to do coaching, that's going to be the foundation. Identity, identity, identity. Because when you understand who you really are, that no matter what happens, your identity is not going to change. Like for that guy that was trying to make the sales pitch, if he knew that his worth and value wasn't coming from his coworkers, his wife, that man who he was trying to sell to, that nothing about his worth and value would change if he did or didn't make the sale, guess what? He can get into the world and he's willing to be able to risk doing something different because it's not going to change who he is. Now he was able to do something in a different way and get into that person's world. You know, it was funny talking about the coaching. Let me share a personal story because this is kind of big. God always has a way with me. Sometimes when I'm in a fog, if he shows me something and I'm asking God, was that you? You know, I've talked on here before. I can look at the emotions that my thought creates because that's how I know. Is it causing fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, shame, guilt, whatever? Those things I'm going, oh yeah, that's probably not the direction I need to be going. But when it creates things like joy and peace, then I know that I'm starting to find my way out of the fog. You have to look at the emotions you're experiencing when you start thinking these new thoughts. And so I'm sitting on the couch and I was just contemplating, going, God, do you want me to start going back and doing life coaching again? Why I stopped doing it, I think it was because my speaking events had gotten to be so heavy that I kind of thought, I just don't have the time. So I kind of backed off of it a few years ago. And then with the economy being as bad as it is right now, God got my attention by some of the speaking events started to go away. And he's like, I want you to do something else right now. And so my stepdaughter was sitting on the chair. She's 21. And she was saying, you know, I think I might like to either be like a therapist or maybe like a life coach. And she goes, you know, don't you do some stuff like that? And I said, you know, it's kind of funny you brought that up because I did for years. You know, I actually even certified life coaches to go out and train others. I said, kind of funny you brought that up. And so when I walked away from that, I started thinking, God, was that you getting my attention? Well, there's the first thing. So I the very next morning, I go up to my office. Everybody was gone. And I was really feeling that fogginess like I was talking about. And I got down on my knees and I began to pray. I said, God, if you want me going back into this, would you be willing to? I do trust you, but you know, it's kind of like the Doubting Thomas thing. I need to see the nail scars in your hands. Would you be willing to show me that? And I had been down on my knees praying to God, you know, humbling myself and just seeking my Father's will. And when I stood up, I felt him say, pick up your cell phone. That's kind of weird. And I picked it up and I opened it. And there was it was off of a social media page that it wasn't on there when I had set the phone down. And it was a picture and it said, unleash your inner coach. It was from the John Maxwell organization, which that's one of the places where I'm certified through. Well, what's the name of my website? You know, Unleashed Men. What's the name of this podcast? Unleashed. Well, that was really interesting, God. That's kind of funny. I believe that's really you, but can you show me something else? I did the podcast on Monday, and on Tuesday, I got a call from somebody from out of state, and he goes, man, I just heard in there that you happen to do coaching. Are you really starting to do that again? I said, yeah. I said, I really believe that's where God's called me back to, and we talked for a minute, and I said, you know what? If you want to go talk to somebody else and find someone, he goes, no. He said, I've been listening to your podcast. He goes, I need this. I want to move forward. Bingo. That's what I want. you know, you ask the questions, well, like, were you sent here by your wife or some legal thing? No, I just really want to be able to be a better version of me. There was the third thing. That's how God, you know, works with me. But it's because I really want to see people move forward. So on the website, theunleashed.men, you can go to resources. You can find the life coaching. But let me just kind of end up with a couple of things here. So what is, I'm calling it Unleashed Men, you know, life coaching. So here's what I wanted to, I put a few things down here I want you to listen to. Imagine a relationship that is entirely focused upon you. Imagine, you know, someone listening to you rather than just hearing you. We all want to be listened to. I mean, really heard what someone said. You know, they hold you capable. They inspire you toward your dreams and your aspirations. You know, it's someone who's genuinely curious about who you are and who and what you want to be. You know, it's someone that just might even be more committed to what you want to achieve than what you are. They don't have an agenda other than your growth and your success. It's someone who sees the immense potential of your true essence. It's someone who can help you finally break free from the prison of self-limiting talk that has sabotaged your growth and success in the past. You know, it's someone that doesn't focus on past sins or mistakes. But what they're doing is they're instead focusing on helping you with the identity that you really have. Because getting to that root is going to help you overcome. You have to know who you really are. They're going to help you see the challenges that you're facing as gifts. And they're going to use those to teach you how to launch you forward. They're going to give you words of life and encouragement. You know, it's going to be a relationship that's built on words of life rather than shame and condemnation. You know, it's a relationship that is going to help build you to engage. You're going to be equipped and you're going to be empowered. And you are going to become the best possible you that you have ever been. You know, if that's what you really want to do, I want to be able to walk with you forward through all that stuff. And I want to end this with the same thing that I say all the time, because this is a quote that I wrote years ago that has really been an inspiration for me, and I hope it is for you too. And it simply says that when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. So if you're really ready to unleash your full potential, man, reach out to me. Go to the unleashed.men website and go to the resources and coaching tab. You'll see some information there where you can give me your phone number, email, kind of tell me what you're looking for. I'll give you a call and we can start to move forward together. Anyhow, with all that to say, you are loved. Your strength is needed. Keep being dangerous for good. Keep being unleashed. We'll see you next time.